This is the Sunshine Economy on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks as always for listening this week. A Miami-based rapper, a second-tier English soccer club, and a sports car racing team. Now, what ties them together is Visit Florida, the state group that markets Florida to tourists across the country and across the globe. What also ties these three together is they provided the ammunition for opponents to using taxpayer money for tourism. There was the $2.9 million paid to International Motorsports Association to put Visit Florida on the racing cars of a team. This is Visit Florida racing driver Ryan Dial in his Corvette during a training run at last year's Rolex 24 at Daytona. It's from a video from Racer Magazine, and on the dashboard view of the camera under a Chevrolet logo are the words, Visit Florida.
Now here's Lucas Piazon working his way into the penalty area. Left foot, 2-1, come on, come on!
Then there's the $1.25 million spent with the Fulham Football Club. This was a score against Bristol City last month, bringing a victory for the soccer club. Now it plays in the league below the top Premier League in the UK. The team's owner also owns the Jacksonville Jaguars. But the deal that brought Visit Florida's business practices the most scrutiny was the $1 million deal with Mr. 305. That deal included social media mentions, concert getaways for New Year's Eve, and a big music video production. That deal was seized upon this fall by critics of Visit Florida, namely the Republican Speaker of the Florida House, Richard Corcoran. He used it to criticize the lack of transparency over how the agency spends the millions of state dollars given to it. Now, the agency said it couldn't release details of the Pitbull contract because it was subject to a confidentiality clause. But when Corcoran sued Pitbull's production company, the rapper tweeted a copy of the deal for everybody to see. This was all high drama for what had been state spending that largely escaped controversy and had grown substantially under Governor Rick Scott. But now it's been threatened by Republican lawmakers in the House who have been encouraged by efforts to label such spending as corporate welfare and attacked for unnecessary when Florida tourism has been setting records.
Transparency is very important. Look, if you have a problem in your business, you don't just shut it down. All right? It's working. This is an investment. If we invest less money, we're going to get less tax revenue.
This was Governor Scott last week in Hialeah as he's been rallying support to continue funding Visit Florida. He wants to spend $76 million next year marketing Florida to tourists, but House Republicans in Tallahassee so far have resisted. Now, an earlier effort to kill the agency was amended to keep it around, but cuts its funding by two-thirds and curtails the organization significantly. Representative Carlos Trujillo is a Republican from Doral who chairs the House Appropriations Committee in the Florida House.
I think our position has been clear. When you look at the Pitbull video, I don't think there was a single Floridian who wasn't appalled by that. When you look at the lack of transparency in all these agencies, I think that should bother every single Floridian, whether you support or don't support the programs. It's not a political point. It's when you philosophically believe that government's not in the business of picking winners and losers. You govern that way. And that's been the House's position.
On the program today, we speak with a longtime Florida tourism marketing leader about why he thinks the tax money for tourism is money well spent. He also happens to be the chair of the Visit Florida organization. We also talk with the leader of the national political group behind the effort to cut the money out of the state budget. So, still to come, we talk with the chair of Visit Florida and its financial transparency effort launched to help save itself. So no more confidentiality clauses and those kinds of agreements, no more non-disclosure clauses, those kinds of things.
Bye-bye.
None of that.
Bye-bye.
Welcome back to the Sunshine Economy on WLRN. As always, thanks for listening this week. I'm Tom Hudson. Today we're talking about using your tax money to promote one of Florida's biggest businesses and a big part of the South Florida economy, tourism. You can join that conversation about using tax money for tourism online. Look for us on Twitter at WLRN. Use the hashtag Sunshine Economy. Now, this issue has emerged as a wedge issue between Republicans in Tallahassee, or at least the Republican Speaker of the Florida House, Richard Corcoran, and the Republican Governor, Rick Scott. Now, while the specific amount of money at risk here, $76 million, is what Governor Scott would like to spend on promoting tourism in the coming year, is relatively small within a state budget that is 1,000 times larger, this battle represents a different philosophy of the role of the state and how it spends your money. Opponents say the state should not be in the business of marketing tourism when the industry can do just fine on its own, and Florida doesn't need it anyway, they say. Who doesn't know about the sun and the sand and everything else this state has to offer visitors? But the governor and supporters of Visit Florida have pushed back, and they've been finding some successes in the effort to keep the state in the tourism marketing business. Legislation that would have eliminated both the State Economic Development Group and Visit Florida instead will separate the two efforts into two separate pieces of legislation. The Visit Florida bill would provide more oversight by the state legislature and moves the financial threat of less money to the state budget. Bill Talbert is the president and CEO of the Greater Miami Convention and Visitors Bureau. He's also the chairman of Visit Florida. Now, he's encouraged by the legislature's changes that would save the agency, but he knows the opposition to state money for tourism remains.
In Tallahassee, the threats are never over until the legislature signs and dies. But, you know, clearly we've gotten great support from the governor, great support. I think the governor's letter to me as board chair and the entire Visit Florida board dated December 16th, I think the six or seven items in that letter have all been done, and they're all about transparency. And I think Ken Lawson, our new CEO, is known by the legislature. They have confidence in what he says, and he's providing great leadership for Visit Florida going forward.
We can, I think, trace the threat to Visit Florida back to this summertime when the then incoming Speaker of the Florida House, Richard Corcoran, started talking about the contract that Visit Florida had with Pitbull. Finally, Pitbull released the contract details on his Twitter account. Turned out he was paid $1 million. Right. Sexy Beaches, the somewhat risque video, and all the associated social media and other mentions regarding the New Year's Eve concert in Bayfront Park in Miami. But then it quickly became really much more about process and how Visit Florida
Correct.
Does what it does.
Correct.
So how have you addressed those process questions and those transparency questions? In other words, is Visit Florida going to put those contracts now
online? They're up online now.
Yeah. And will it put all new contracts
yes.
up online?
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. And that's, Ken Lawson and with board support. Board support. And let me just say something quickly about Pitbull. This was not a secret contract. And by the way, Pitbull speaks to customers I can't get to. So that's a little thing. But, you know, Pitbull has a charter school here.
Yeah.
He's a great family guy. But, you know, with great performers, you know, this is what's called trade secrets. You know, they don't need to have their competition know how much they got or didn't get. But that's behind us. And so those kinds of agreements will not be in place going forward.
So no more confidentiality clauses
no,
and those kinds of agreements, no more non-disclosure
no,
clauses,
sir.
Those kinds of things.
Bye-bye.
None of that.
Bye-bye.
So the message
As of January 11th at 9 a.m.
Yeah. So current contracts that also came under scrutiny, the $1.25 million paid to the Fulham Football Club, the soccer club in the U.K., almost $3 million to the International Motor Sports Association racing team, full sunshine to those?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Addressing all of those concerns.
Yeah.
And how about the legislative effort to say even the quantity of money associated with those contracts should be subject to legislative scrutiny and legislative approval?
I think that's something we're going to go forward in this legislative session. You know, there's a new House bill. We haven't seen any Senate bill. Remember, in order to get something passed, you have to have the House and the Senate,
right.
And then the governor. So it's a long process. The legislative session starts this week, and so there's a long ways to go. But the transparency issue is behind us. You know, Ken Lawson is an attorney by trade. He ran the state's Department of Business and Professional Regulation and is known for his candid, upfront, transparent way of managing. Now, also, Tom, let me just get back. In 2016, the state of Florida had record tourism.
Right.
Record tourism. So it's, and by the way, they're not coming anyhow. We have fierce competition from other states, other countries. So You know, that record $76 million investment by the state, leveraged to $212 million by Visit Florida, resulted in a record number of visitors to the state. And so going forward, we're going to do it a little different under Ken's leadership, but we're still in a very competitive marketplace. And that, you know, if we want to keep that record number of visitors. And by the way, at the end of the day, what do visitors do? They spend money and support jobs.
Now, you know, the critics are going to say, listen, Visit Florida, you can't take credit for all 112.8 million visitors that came to Florida in 2016.
And Visit Florida doesn't, just like I don't take full credit for the record number of visitors we had. But it's about partnerships. If you hire us and you hire Visit Florida to bring visitors to your state, and if it goes up, you have a hand in it. You know, it's about partnerships. You know, the Convention Bureau partners with Visit Florida, partners with Brand USA, partners with private sector. If you don't partner, it doesn't happen. So nobody does it alone. Nobody ever does it alone. Why? By the way, why does Coca-Cola advertise?
So that people drink Coca-Cola and its products, certainly.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about the partnership idea and another area of scrutiny that Visit Florida has undertaken and seen with the Republican leadership in the Florida House has been this match of public and private dollars and the ability for Visit Florida to count for in-kind contributions and advertising as dollars toward this 50-50 equitable split under state law that Visit Florida has to have.
Right.
The critics, however, will say, listen, more than 80% of the operating budget still comes from state taxpayers.
Right, but at the end of the day, in-kind means that a hotel or a restaurant provides something at no cost. Well, that's costing somebody money. So while maybe that's not the right word for in-kind, we actually call it contributed services at the Convention Bureau. Contributed service. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, in-kind contributed services, somebody's paying hard dollars to do that. And without those, I mean, when we partner with Visit Florida and bring, recently we had Japanese journalists in. But if we didn't have the support of the hotels and the restaurants, you know, neither of us have enough money. You know, it's putting all the product together, but without the hotels in kind contributed service, it doesn't happen.
That example, Visit Florida pays journalists to come visit Florida.
They pay their
expenses.
Yeah.
They pay their expenses.
Yeah.
And what's the return on that? What's the return to put up a group of Asian journalists on Miami Beach or in Naples or Orlando?
Here's the thing. This is called public relations. None of us have enough money to buy ads. You know, it's and public relations and stories, you know, are more believable. So we bring journalists in, everybody does, and we show them around, and, you know, they can write about what they see. So that costs less money and has a greater return and is more believable by the public. Those stories that are written in, you know, newspapers around the world, you know, you're the same way. You believe the story before you believe an ad.
We're certainly reporters. However, our costs are not paid for companies to go visit them, to go write about them. We would incur that cost ourselves.
We do it. The competition does it. If we don't do it, it's media relations. It's telling the story. And by the way, we don't require to see the story in advance.
So you don't approve of what's written
absolutely
in the photographs
not.
Or video
we,
that's
you know,
taken?
We host you. You look around. We take you to places. Yeah. You see stuff. And you write what you want.
As chairman of Visit Florida, would you advocate for more hard dollar contributions from the private sector as opposed to these in-kind contributions?
I'll take any money any way I can get it, Tom. You know me.
Well, let me put it this way. Would the hospitality industry in Florida be open to more hard dollar contributions? I ask that year to date when I take a look at the Visit Florida budget. The in-kind contributions have totaled this fiscal year $28 million versus what's called the partner investment, which I'm assuming is the hard dollar actually writing of checks and currency, is $1.1 million.
It's a hard dollar for somebody. Whether it's a hotel stay or a restaurant or ground transportation, it's got to be. I mean, ours is called contributed services. And if we don't get that's costing somebody money.
Is there still a need here, as Florida has seen several years of record tourism, for a state contribution to the hospitality industry and marketing efforts?
Let me just say this. If you look at the partnership, remember a $76 million investment in 2016 got you record tourism for the state. And if you look at other states, whether
you can't prove the negative to that, though. You can't
well,
say
we can.
If we didn't
we can.
Spend.
No, I can tell you. I have the page here, and we'll leave it.
Okay.
You're perfect, Tom. Perfect. Colorado, the budget went down, and they lost $1.4 billion in traveler spend in 1 year. State of Washington cut their budget, and they lost 70% almost overnight. Pennsylvania, their budget was cut, and they lost $600 million in 5 years. So you can see what happens. We know what happens in other places when the investment is reduced. When you reduce the investment and the number of visitors goes down and also the number of jobs, it's very hard to get them back. I continue to get calls every day from competitors, customers. They say the state legislators must be kidding. It's the state's number one industry, and you've had record numbers, and they want to cut the investment? Are they kidding?
That's Bill Talbert with Visit Florida, fighting to keep tax money for tourism. Still to come, we continue our conversation with Zika, Hurricane Matthew, the Brazilian recession, election uncertainty here in the States, all in 2016. How is the tourism business doing?
I think it's a fair statement to say that we have bottomed out. We bottomed out, and then we're on our way back.
This is the Sunshine Economy, tax money for tourism. I'm Tom Hudson. As always, thanks for listening. The tourism industry has been dealt several blows over the past year. Just consider this list of challenges. The Zika virus came to Miami-Dade County, and federal health officials issued an unprecedented travel warning for two neighborhoods that helped draw visitors, South Beach and Wynwood. Hurricane Matthew spared South Florida, but it reminded travelers of Mother Nature's threat, especially in the fall. A strong U.S. dollar against international currencies like the Canadian dollar, the euro, and the Argentine peso all makes Florida vacations more expensive for travelers who pay in those currencies. And then there's the ongoing political and economic crises in Brazil. Although the Brazilian real currency has gained more value against the dollar, helping make Florida a bit more affordable for Brazilians than it was just a year ago. There's also been hundreds of new hotel rooms opening up and the growth of Airbnb. Now, some of these economic challenges are just part of the business cycle for tourism. Some of them are normal competitive pressures. Others, like Zika and Hurricane Matthew, highlight the exposure tourism has to other forces. And then there's the political forces buffeting state money for tourism marketing right now. Both Miami-Dade and Broward counties have seen the amount of money collected from hotel bed taxes drop in recent months. While 2016 saw a record number of overnight visitors and record spending by visitors, the year ended with tourist taxes falling from the levels a year earlier. Hotel occupancy has dropped, as has the average price per day for a room. But Bill Talbert, president and CEO of the Greater Miami Convention and Visitors Bureau and chairman of Visit Florida, thinks the worst is over, as he remains hopeful the state legislature will continue providing some money to market Florida as a tourist destination.
We were up both domestically and internationally. But in 2016, in October, we had Hurricane Matthew. It was a holiday weekend. The airport was closed for 3 days, and almost the first 2 weeks in October were gone. That's a big hit to the industry. And that Monday was a holiday. So on top of that, our number one international market, Brazil, down almost 30%.
In terms of overnight visitors into Miami?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
We have the international exchange rates.
Strong dollar, which means that for any foreign visitor, the dollar here on the beaches and on the mainland is going to go a lot less far as it used to.
Right. Yeah. And also the Z word.
Zika, I'll say
I didn't say Zika.
I'll say it. Oh, was there another one?
Oh, the Z word. And we also have what is, in a long term, a good thing. new hotel product all over the county.
Yeah, the record supply was coming to the market, new hotel rooms.
Yeah.
But you mentioned Matthew, you mentioned the downturn in Brazil, you mentioned the strong dollar and Zika. All of those things were really concentrated in the final 6 months of the year. So while perhaps the year was strong, it ended a little bit weaker. And we saw that with tax revenues coming in from hotels down several months in a row. And it's not just Miami-Dade.
Right.
We see the same thing up in Broward County as well, where
we
it's
do.
three or four months.
You're looking at that, too. We look at those same numbers.
So what I meant is we kind of move into 2017, we're actually seeing a little bit less momentum year over year.
Well, let me give you the just within the last few days, our board, our Greater Miami Convention Visitors Bureau board met. And I think it's a fair statement to say that we have bottomed out. We bottomed out and then we're on our way back.
The worst is over for
tourism. Also, remember, I always forget something. We basically had a convention center on the beach that's been dark.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing.
Renovation of the Miami Beach Convention Center.
Which has gone along quite well, but basically dark. So we haven't been largely in the convention business. But we bottomed out. Our word from Brazil, particularly from our number one airline partner, American Airlines, has 75% of the business. They're bullish about Brazil going forward. Now, Colombia is up double digits, Argentina up double digits, but not only from Brazil on the convention business, our convention salespeople say we're starting to book again for the Miami Beach Convention Center. So at the end of the day, we kind of went down for a variety of reasons. Also, there's a thing called Airbnb.
They do see themselves as partners of the traditional lodging business, which you represent, not as competitors. Do you see Airbnb as the same way?
Well, right now, one thing is they are not paying the resort tax.
Well, and their complaint or
they're ready to do it. I understand that.
Their comeback is they're not the ones with the room inventory. It's the people who list their rooms and their homes for rent who are responsible for the taxes.
We've been with the Airbnb, and they're prepared to pay the tax. But then you have the, let's call it the regulation, the licensing. Do I want a hotel in the house next to me?
Yeah, I think they're prepared to collect the tax
and
then push that through.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Does the lodging industry here, and you represent the lodging industry.
I do.
Is Airbnb a competitor?
We are now focusing our attention on driving business to the hotels. Hotels are a big cash-paying partner of ours. They generate and collect the resort tax countywide. So we're going to be hotel-centric for a while we get more customers to catch up with that inventory. And at the end of the day, where Airbnb has worked best, whether it's in San Francisco, on North Miami Beach, is to provide accommodations in areas that are underserved.
Right. Or there's not a big hotel supply. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
We're trying to drive more business into the hotels because, right now you see, they're having issues.
This strategic decision that you are making with the Greater Miami Convention and Visitors Bureau to, as you say, be centric, hotel-centric for a while. How significant is that change, and what is it in response to?
Not really a change. I mean, if you read the hotels, their collections are down. The ADR, the average daily rates are down.
Right.
The occupancy is down. So they're less full, and they're charging more, which means they're what's called, and you've reported this, their revenue per available room, RevPAR, is down.
It's a key industry metric to
figure
out the financial health of a hotel.
That's a key one. Now, I will also tell you that our positioning on occupancy, and you've seen these reports, our positioning nationally has stayed the same. New York City is having some of these same issues. And I know you were looking at the county to the north of us, but there are other places that, have these.
You can say Broward County, can't you, Bill?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you. The Z word, too. But
I noticed you still didn't say it, though.
That's behind us.
As you look at the book of business, there's been some concern voiced nationally that the Trump administration and some of the rhetoric that it has delivered and the president has delivered for international communities can hurt international tourism.
You know what? I got no way of knowing what the effect will be. We'll see. I mean, half of Miami's business is international. We have the highest percentage of international business of anybody by a factor of two. New York City's 25%. We're 50%.
Does it make it that much more vulnerable to the rhetoric we're hearing from the administration?
Well, no, I mean, not necessarily. I mean, their issues have to do with the seven countries, and those seven countries are not feeder markets for Miami.
The you Middle know, East countries that are no. named in the executive order that
no,
was
no,
stopped
none,
in the
None.
Judiciary.
I mean, we have England, and we have Brazil, and we have Colombia, and we have Argentina, and we have Italy, and we have France. And so, you know, our feeder markets are not any of those markets.
Bill Talbert, the boss of the Greater Miami Convention and Visitors Bureau and the chairman of Visit Florida. Now, still to come, the national political advocacy group that is pushing Republicans here in Florida to stop state funding for touting the Sunshine State for tourism.
A core function of the state is not tourism. It's not. I mean, a core function of the state's education, transportation, roads, infrastructure, core function. Tourism dollars, not a core function.
We're back on the Sunshine Economy here on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening. Today we're talking about spending taxpayer money for tourism. It's a budget that has grown significantly under Governor Rick Scott. In his first budget as governor, he was able to convince his fellow Republican lawmakers to up the budget for Visit Florida by 31% from the previous year. In 2011, the agency had almost $35 million to spend. At the time, it was just shy of record funding. The state back then was still digging out from under the economic debris left from the housing collapse and Great Recession. Florida had experienced three straight years of a drop or flat tourist visits. Florida's unemployment rate statewide was almost 12%. Here in South Florida, 1 in 10 people in the workforce did not have work.
Winter makes you sad, remember.
A year earlier in 2010, Visit Florida, the state tourism marketing agency, created a video encouraging Floridians to invite friends and family to come to the Sunshine State for a visit. Over video of people eating at a restaurant, on an airboat, golfing, fishing, at a pool party, the words, share a hug, create a job, share a laugh, help our economy.
Invite someone to visit Florida and help keep our future sunny. Visit sharealittlesunshine.org today.
Tying tourism to his broader message of jobs, Governor Scott was successful in getting the legislature to increase state funding for Visit Florida. It began a string of successes for the governor in securing more dollars for tourism campaigns. By 2014, the state was spending $74 million with Visit Florida, almost a threefold increase over 4 years. Now, the governor wants to add a little more money in the coming fiscal year. He's proposed $76 million. If he's successful, it would be a record amount of money for Visit Florida. But the effort to stop the governor has come from his own political party. Republicans in the Florida House, led by Speaker Richard Corcoran, have been urged on by political advocacy group Americans for Prosperity to attack the state's spending on tourism marketing. They call it corporate welfare and argue it's not in the state government's business to use tax money for promoting tourism, even if it is a huge industry in the state, responsible for millions of jobs and billions in tax revenue. Now, the organization is backed by David and Charles Koch, who are known for their free market libertarian political philosophy. Tim Phillips is the president of Americans for Prosperity. Tell me about this national focus on these kind of economic development government programs.
Often Republicans talk about the need to reform and to cut funding for social welfare programs because these programs don't work. They trap people in dependency. You know, it's welfare in many respects. And they're right. We do think that you need to reform those programs and cut funding that doesn't really help people. But a lot of Republicans will turn around and they'll support corporate welfare. They'll want to use taxpayer dollars to pick winners and losers in the marketplace. And that's what happens here in Florida, but also across the country. What we're saying is Florida has a wonderful tax structure. It has great weather. It has some of the best employees and folks who work in the world. Let's not have government leaders having a candy jar using taxpayer dollars to pick and choose folks. It leads to corruption. It leads a lot of times to corporate welfare. And let's just have a level playing field. You know, that's what our nation should be about, a level playing field. And a lot of times the people who get these taxpayer dollars for corporate welfare, They're the best connected companies, the folks who hire the best lobbyists, who have the most money to give away for contributions. So we're saying, let's not do that. We do this across the country. Florida is one of the key places we do it, but we work at this across the country.
How much is AFP investing in Florida, both in terms of people power and financial power?
It's our largest footprint in the country. We have offices from Dade County all the way up to the Panhandle. Dozens and dozens of staff across the state, thousands of volunteers. It's a several million dollar effort every year.
Why Florida as a focus for AFP and not Texas or California, for that matter, where the hill may be a bit steeper, for instance?
We're in Texas, and Texas is a state that is important. Florida, though, is an economic engine for the entire country. It's been a place where folks come from all over, not just the United States, but to the world, because of the opportunities here. And we want to be here to help maximize that for Floridians and for folks from around the world and around the country who want to get here. I was at our Dade County office, and we had citizenship training, helping folks who were here from around the world legally, and they want to become United States citizens. And I was watching them as we go through the classes. It's something we do for free because we want to help people live the American dream. And one way to do that is to help these folks pass that citizenship test. And it was exciting to see it. Many of them had driven, Tom, from 1 hour, 2 hours away mm-hmm. to come in for these evening classes because they want to live the American dream. We want to help that. So we have a big footprint right here in Florida for that reason. And it's several million dollars year in and year out.
Give me an idea. Is that $5 million, $10 million that AFP invests?
It varies from year to year. Last year, frankly, as you know, we got involved. We thought Marco Rubio was someone we very much wanted to see stay in the United States Senate. And so we spent millions of dollars last year. It would have been, you know, an $8, $9 million, $10 million commitment.
It was a big general election year,
sure,
of course.
Sure, sure. Yeah. This year it'll be more like a few million in single-digit millions. But that's still a lot of money. But we're committed. And one thing I'll note, this isn't for us an up and down thing where we pull out when there's not an election. We're here year in, year out. We've been in Florida, as a matter of fact, since roughly 2008.
Talk to me about, at a state level here, as you make the case against some of the government spending programs that have been directed toward economic development, and especially tourism, which is a bedrock industry here in South Florida. And then you're making national arguments as well regarding trade, which is a significant source of some of the higher paying jobs that we see in this economy that has seen real stagnant median wages because of the hospitality size of business over the past decade or so.
Yeah, Florida has, if you look at the last 40 years, Florida has been a tourist destination for the world. And it's continued to grow. There have been a couple of drops. We had the Great Recession of 2008-09, which was devastating. Yep.
And we've seen kind of a drop-off, at least by hotel tax revenue over the last several months here in South Florida that's attributed to the Zika challenges.
The Zika scare. Yeah. Well, there's going to be short-term blips, whether it's a financial situation or a situation like the Zika issue that came up. But overall, the trend has been strong for Florida. And our point there in opposing the tourism, that state spending tourism dollars is, it's a very small percentage of the total hospitality spend. It's about 8% of the total amount of money spent by Florida businesses, hospitality, et cetera. So it's not the predominant part of it. But more importantly, it's just not what government needs to be doing. You know, we've got schools to pay for kids. We've got so many other needs to take care of healthcare, so many other roads and bridges. We shouldn't be putting money into it. And the private sector should do that. That's a good thing. Tourism's going well if you look at the long-term trend in mm-hmm. Florida. And it's not something that Governor Scott and the others ought to be spending money on. I'm glad to see the Speaker of the House and the others know that and are saying no to it so
Richard
far.
Richard Corcoran, the Republican Speaker of the House,
has said
no so far to visit Florida, but has kind
or
of...
Or at a minimum, making it more transparent.
Right.
I noticed some of the efforts to the pit bull embarrassment, some of the other things that have happened. He's saying, let's at least, maybe don't go away with it, but let's at least cut the level of funding because we have so many other priorities. And let's make it more transparent so we don't have these boondoggles that happen where you're spending $1 million for Pitbull to do a racy video on the beach.
And an $82 billion state budget, which is what legislators will be considering in Tallahassee over the next several weeks, talking about $80 million for tourist marketing dollars that has fed into 100 million visitors into Florida over the past several years, paying those local taxes, those bed taxes, populating restaurants and hotels, and of course all the concessions and whatnot. Is that not a good investment of the small amount of state dollars proportionally?
I think two thoughts. One, you have so many needs in Florida. I think about the healthcare needs, the education needs, the roads I'm driving on around Miami, you know, where you're waiting long. You know, you can be driving middle of the day and you have an hour long delay, which burns up your time with family and work. There are many other needs, and a million here, a million there. Pretty soon you're talking real money.
Senator Dirksen.
Right, yeah, Senator Dirksen's thing. From Illinois, so that's important to remember. The argument for bad spending is always, well, it's only a little bit. Imagine in your household budget if you said, it's only 3 or 4% of my total spending. I'm going to go ahead and waste this money. Well, this is not even their money. It's taxpayer money. And so there are so many other priorities, A. And B, the hospitality companies, we love these companies. They're great. But they're some of the wealthiest corporations in the world. They can afford to
do
their
own. You
think
they're getting a free pass?
No, I didn't say that. I'm just saying that they have a great support network right now that does help them. And so that's what I'm saying. There's so many other priorities. And let me ask you this, Tom. Why should Florida pick a tourism industry at the expense of another kind of industry? So you're picking winners in the tourism. I mean, if you're a hotel operator, well, you love the spending.
Sure,
but let's say that you're a company that makes dry cleaning materials.
Sure. On the transportation side, the majority of state transportation spending is on roads, not on public transit or buses or trains. So they're picking winners in that regard as well, Tim.
Well, they're trying to meet where the consumers in Florida say they want to go. I mean, that's something that when you're picking a road versus a train, you've got to figure out which one is the best
for the
people.
Maybe consumers want to go on the roads because that's where the state funds have gone to for the past plus generations.
You can argue the transportation dollars, where should they go? But the core function of a state is transportation infrastructure. That's a core function. Just like a core function of the federal government's national defense, a core function of the state's transportation and infrastructure, a core function of the state is not tourism. It's not. I mean, a core function of the state's education. God bless them, localities in the state, that's a core function. Transportation, roads, infrastructure, core function. Tourism dollars, not a core function.
You've focused efforts on the state spending on tourism. In Florida, there's a number of local tourism authorities that also use public dollars. Here in Dade County, there's a local tourism agency. Palm Beach County has one. Broward County has one. Monroe County has one. Orange County in Orlando has one, where they're focused even more exclusively on the local footprint. I know you're focused nationwide with Americans for Prosperity. Your portfolio is all 50 states, including the federal government. But is there a role for municipal governments to get involved in what is a significant contributor to the tax structure in a low-tax environment, in a no-tax, no-income tax state environment such as we have in Florida?
It's better to have those decisions made locally than at the state level. I would say that because a county like Dade or Broward, they have far more stake in tourism than a county in the Panhandle or somewhere else that doesn't have as much of a stake in it. So it is a better place for the decisions to be made locally rather than at the state or federal level. However, again, you're still picking winners and losers. You're still picking people in a certain industry and saying, we're going to shower you. And you can make an argument, yeah, but it trickles down to everyone through bed taxes. But
in order
still,
for that dry cleaner to get the business, you've got to get the businessman from New York to come to Miami Beach to the convention.
Yeah, but most people want to come to Miami Beach. I mean, I came from D.C., and I want to be in Florida over New York any day of the week in February, March, April, even up to May and June, even when it's really hot. So, again, the core function of government, education, transportation, in some cases, making sure there's a basic safety net for people who are struggling. Those are the core functions. Those aren't doing very well right now. We're better off focusing there and not picking winners and losers. Florida has done a great job for decades. It doesn't need the government doing this. And frankly, these programs, they're rife with, if not corruption, at least cronyism, where the best connected companies seem to get the money pulled toward them. You know that. You know how politics works.
Tim Phillips is the president of Americans for Prosperity, the group helping lead the effort against state funding for Visit Florida, the state tourism marketing agency. Still to come, we continue our conversation. It may be opposition to government spending on tourism marketing today, but the Florida focus by Americans for Prosperity will continue as the jockeying for early position in the next election already is underway.
Florida is an economic engine for the entire country, and thank goodness for Florida. We want to make sure that continues, that people are growing and this state is vibrant. So, yeah, we will look at governor in 2018.
We're back on the Sunshine Economy. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening.
The fight against the type of government spending like Visit Florida is greater than just the money to market tourism here in the Sunshine State. It's greater than the battle of political wills in Tallahassee between members of the same political party. It's a campaign against what supporters consider mission creep of state government. Americans for Prosperity has successfully pushed its agenda of less government and less regulation. It's been helped by the deep pockets of Charles and David Koch, the Koch brothers. The group spent $2.5 million in the U.S. Senate race last year here, according to OpenSecrets.org. Republican Marco Rubio won re-election in that race against Democrat Patrick Murphy. Among the 10 Senate races in which the group was active last year, it spent the most money here in Florida. Its focus is on state policy right now as the Florida legislative session begins this week, and it has been successful so far in finding lawmaker support for its efforts to go after state economic development spending on job incentives by Enterprise Florida and tourism marketing money for Visit Florida. But the next important election cycle is not too far off. 2018 will see two big statewide races here, governor and U.S. senator. This is where we pick up the conversation with Tim Phillips, the president of Americans for Prosperity. Americans for Prosperity is always looking ahead at the next election cycle. It's a political advocacy group, after all. 2018, we've got two big races here in the state of Florida. We have a governor's race, and we have a U.S. Senate race. Senator Bill Nelson, the Democrat, the senior senator of Florida, is expected to run for re-election. There's been talk that Governor Scott may be interested in running as a Republican for senator. There's been talk about Adam Putman, the current agriculture secretary, running for governor. The mayor of Miami Beach may run for governor. The mayor of Tampa may run for governor. The crowd is already starting to gather. So as you look at this legislative fight over economic development spending, you've got to be looking ahead at that election cycle of 2018 and the outcome of the debate now and how Americans for Prosperity may deploy some of its financial wherewithal in that election cycle still to come.
I think Florida governor will be a priority for us. We disagree with the governor on this individual item of Enterprise Florida, but the governor's done a lot of good things. A lot of his budget initiatives, working with the state legislature, a lot of the he's cut out a lot of the regulation and waste out of state government. He's done a lot of good things, and we appreciate a lot of things Governor Scott's done. And so we have a disagreement. It's strong, and we've just discussed it. But when you step back and look at the big picture, is it better to have had Governor Scott for these last roughly 7 years or 6 years, or some big spending liberal person on the other side? It's better to have Governor Scott. So we have a disagreement here, but not in a broad sense with him. And so we're going to look at Governor in 18, and I suspect we will be involved because Florida, as I mentioned earlier, it is an economic engine for the entire country. And thank goodness for Florida. And so we want to make sure that continues, that people are growing and this state is vibrant. So, yeah, we will look at governor in 2018. Our organization focused a lot on making sure that Chuck Schumer was not going to be the new majority leader in the United States Senate this year. That was a big effort. Florida was a part of that. We spent millions and millions here. We'll do that again in 2018, and we're going to absolutely look at the Florida Senate race. It's a big one. It's an important one. It'll be interesting to see how the senator here, how he votes on Obamacare repeal, how he votes on the Supreme Court justice coming up.
Gorsuch. Senator Nelson,
yes,
specifically.
Yeah. And we will be watching his votes. And he has a decision to make. Does he want to just simply join the far left that wants to, for political reasons, just vote no on everything, whether it's Judge Gorsuch for the Supreme Court, whether it's repealing Obamacare and making some good changes, tax reform that keeps this economy or gets it going faster? Does he want to just side for party reasons and vote no on all this, or will he join and do some common sense things? We hope he does some common sense things. If he doesn't, we'll be very active here in 18.
You know, the counter to that strategy is, isn't that what the Republicans deployed for the last 8 years under President Obama in Congress?
They have every right to do it. Yeah. The Democrats in the Senate do. They absolutely do. And we have every right to make the case that on repealing Obamacare, the public in four straight elections, 2010, 12, 14, 16, they gave a pretty strong statement that when Republicans said we're going to repeal Obamacare because it's hurting more people than it's helping, and they were voted into big majorities.
Yeah.
And so he has every right to do that, the senator, Senator Nelson. We have every right to make the point I just made, and let's let the people decide. That's kind of what representative democracy is all about. I will say this. When I think about the left right now and the energy and the anger and the passion they have opposing Trump, I am not one of these folks who says, oh, it's all AstroTurf, it's all fake organization. It's not. The left made a big mistake in 2009 when the Tea Party movement launched, and we were very active in that at Americans for Prosperity. They tried to make the same argument, Rachel Maddow and all these left-wing voices, Pelosi, oh, it's fake. No, there is real passion on the hard left right now, and they have a lot of money. They have a lot of very well-organized, proficient organizations, and they do have hundreds of thousands, if not several million Americans, who believe in their cause and are out there. So we should never underestimate or deride this energy right now. It's real. We've got to take them on the issues and remind Americans and these Republicans who have the majority of why those Republicans have majorities in the first place.
Let me see if I can solicit an answer from you that kind of gets beyond the normal rhetoric here.
Hold on, I think I've done more than
rhetoric. No, I'm not accusing you of that by any stretch of the imagination. Right. But the question could solicit kind of a normal talking point response. I'm trying not to do that.
Well, I just acknowledge that the left has real energy and passion right now.
Yeah, absolutely. South Florida is purple, right?
Yeah.
When you look at the elected representatives that and how South Florida voted in the general election, right? Dade County, Broward County, Palm Beach County went for Secretary Clinton in the presidential race. It helped elect Senator Rubio back as a Republican in the United States Senate. The majority of state House representatives from Dade County are Republican. The majority of state House representatives in the state House and the state Senate in Broward County are Democrat. You look at the U.S. House of Representative districts. Those in Broward County are mostly blue. Those in Dade County are mostly red. When you put all that together, it is a purple stew of politics here. So for a libertarian-leaning advocacy group like Americans for Prosperity, how do you approach this region of the country?
You have to make it individualized. I think that's the key. I was at our office in Dade, and we had about 30 folks or so there who are taking citizenship classes. They want to be American citizens. They're here legally, and we want to help them do that. We also, in the course of that, want to explain that one of the reasons they want to be in the United States is because of the American dream, that they can live a prosperous and free life. And that's what the United States has helped provide, because we have individual liberty and we have freedom, genuine freedom. And so we do try to talk about that. We're in neighborhoods on a consistent basis, and it's a year-round effort. And you have to take that message and make it individual. And you have to be competing, and we would not really call ourselves libertarian leaning. I mean, because we don't do drug legalization, we don't do foreign affairs, get out of everything. We're a prosperity and freedom organization, but it's an individualized approach. And I also think that if you're just doctrinaire all the time, if you're for one party all the time, you and I just talked about this corporate welfare that Republicans are trying to do. And we're criticizing them and calling them out in a respectful way. We're doing it, though.
Tim Phillips is the president of political advocacy group Americans for Prosperity. The group is among those pushing the Florida legislature to eliminate the state's economic development group, Enterprise Florida, and to reduce the funding going to the state's tourism marketing agency, Visit Florida. Wanda Miles is our technical producer this week. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening.